Welcome to the Early Retirement Show. If you are a longtime listener, thank you. And if you are new to the show, as a reminder, this show is dedicated to helping you retire early, otherwise known as the show dedicated to helping you understand what you have to do to be in a position where you are financially free, where work is now optional. So whether you are a few years out from retirement and you just want to know everything to prepare for that big date, or you're new in your journey and you want to get a head start on maximizing what you've worked so hard for throughout your life, this is the show for you. So we discuss everything from investments to taxes to insurance and everything that comes in between. So without further ado, let's go ahead and hop into today's episode. Welcome back to the Early Retirement Show. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about taxes and specifically how you can lower them and not pay a dime more than you need to, especially with tax time coming up. So if you've already filed your return, no problem. This is just going to be helpful information, especially for next year and just things to consider when filing taxes really at any time. But if you have not filed yet, certainly want to listen to this episode to understand how you can save on taxes. Now, today's episode is going to be referencing a checklist for a portion of it. So reminder that this will be in the description below. So if you're not following along or you go, Ari, I don't even know what you just said, that did not sound like English, no worries at all. In the description, you will be able to click, and I've included a link there so that it's just a Dropbox where you can go in and see what issues should you be considering when reviewing your tax return, just making sure that everything is being reported properly, but also making sure you do not leave anything on the table, because by making sure you report everything, one, you're avoiding any potential penalties or additional taxes, but two, you are taking advantage of all of the deductions that are available to you, because by reporting everything properly, it's where either you or your tax preparer can say, okay, based off of all of your moving parts, here's where I see makes most sense. Maybe it's taking an itemized deduction instead of a standard deduction. Maybe it's contributing to an IRA or a 401k. It's just going to completely depend on your situation. So that will certainly be in the description below. And lastly, all of this information and more is on YouTube. So if you're looking for more video content or it's easier to follow along, you can always just click the description and you will see that there. So without further ado, let's hop into today's episode, which is about all of the ways to save on taxes. And where I want to start is with tax savings. So what we start with is tax savings, but what we really want to understand is tax planning, and there is a difference. So the difference with tax savings is, to take a very basic example that you might have heard in a few other episodes, and I apologize if it's repetitive, but I think it's helpful, is if you were to have a job, and that job is just a normal, you know, you're getting paid a W-2, and it's $100,000 of income that you're bringing in, and you have the option to contribute to a 401k, and let's say you take advantage of that. Well, it's $20,500. That's the maximum that you can do. So let's say you go ahead and you do that. So now you make $100,000. You contribute to the maximum of $20,500. So now, really, you're only paying taxes on $79,500. And so you could look at that and go, hey, that's wonderful. I just, instead of paying on the full $100,000, I'm paying on $79,500. I'm decreasing the amount of taxable income, the amount of taxes I will owe at tax time. Using the same example, let's assume that you do not have an employer. Let's assume you're contributing to an IRA, which stands for Individual Retirement Account. And with an IRA, the limit is $6,000. So if you make $100,000 and you contribute $6,000, you now pay taxes on $94,000. So all good things. These are ways to save on taxes. But what we want to consider is tax planning, meaning if we do that, that's great. That's going to save us on taxes today. But in the future, the IRS is going to say, hey, great job, Ari, for contributing to your retirement, but we want our cut. We want our money back. And they're not going to ask for it for a very long time. But when they do ask for it, specifically age 72 is the age that they say, as of tax law today, you have to take money out. And you might be listening to this saying, hey, that's a few years out from retirement. Or you know what, Ari, that's 30, 40 years. I'm not even thinking about that. Here's where it's applicable. You can start touching this money at 59 and a half, but if you were to contribute, call it $100,000 over your lifetime into a 401k or an IRA, and it grows and grows and grows, and now it's worth $1 million. Well, when you take that $1 million out, it's not actually $1 million because you got what's called a tax advantaged deferral, meaning when you put the money in, They said, hey, great job contributing to retirement. We love seeing that. But we're going to save you on taxes today, but you're going to have to pay us in the future. So imagine that $100,000 goes to $1 million. And now that $1 million, you're going to have to pay taxes on it when you take the money out. Now, it's only at the tax rate that you're in. So if you're still working and loving your life and doing your job, well, then you're going to likely have to be paying, call it 20, 30, 40% maybe even combined federal and state in taxes when you take the money out. So the last thing you want to have happen is now you have $1 million, but by the time that you do take the money out, you're paying so much in taxes, it's more like $600,000 or $700,000. Once again, a good problem, but part of this is not about, you know, just thinking about, hey, well, what am I doing good at? It's what am I optimizing? Because a lot of people are saying, hey, I want to contribute because I want to save on taxes. And people who are thinking about that, they are not thinking about it wrong. They are, I like that they're thinking about that. But I like to say, can we take it a step further and look at, hey, what makes most sense based off your individual situation? For example, the same examples I just shared, well, what you could do is do either a Roth 401k, which is offered at your employer only, or a Roth IRA. With the Roth IRA example, let's assume that you do $100,000 as income. That's what's coming in. And you do a $6,000 Roth IRA contribution, which is the maximum if you're under age 50, $7,000 if above. And so now you do that. And so now you're going to tell the government, right, hey, I made $6,000 contributions. Don't I get something? They're going to say no. Instead, you get tax-free growth forever. So if you make $100,000 in a year and you contribute $6,000, you still pay taxes on the full $100,000. The difference is that $6,000, it grows tax-free forever. So it's growing and growing and growing. And now let's assume you're 59 and a half. You say, I can finally tap into this money, no penalties, tax-free, and I have $1 million. Do I have to pay taxes on it? The answer is no, you do not. And so it's such a powerful account. So the question to ask ourselves is, if we believe we're going to make more money throughout our lifetime, if we think income is going to go up, a Roth IRA might make most sense because it's taking advantage of that tax-free growth. Now, on the other hand, if you were, for example, in a very high tax bracket today and you're working and you're making a great income, and maybe in the future you think there's going to be a pension or Social Security you're planning on or inheritance or really anything else, well, you might want to do the 401k or the IRA to save on taxes today, because that is just going to be so impactful because of the tax bracket you're in today. So it's this sense of tax arbitrage. And when I'm saying all of this as a reminder, there's going to be a checklist in the description where you can go through and check that out. So always want you to know, it's not as if, hey, do I have to be remembering all of these numbers, Ari? It doesn't even sound like English. So yes, it is all going to be in the description. So a 401k, that is a great way to save on taxes today. A IRA, great way to save on taxes today. We just want to compare it to what we're not just giving up, but what is the tax trade-off? What makes most sense? A health savings account. Health savings account is really the best of both worlds, because if you contribute to a health savings account, it's wonderful because you get a deduction for it today. It grows tax-free and you don't pay taxes when you take it out. So an HSA can be a wonderful account. Another thing to look at is a flexible savings account. And so almost think of a flexible savings account like the HSAs, the health savings account. It's like its little brother. So the FSA lets you put aside money up to $2,550 for qualified health expenses. So that's $2,550 you would not have to pay any taxes on. Certainly something that we want to consider. Another thing is giving. So giving is interesting, because with giving, there's giving like, hey, I just want to do a very nice deed. And then there's actual giving where, hey, I want to make a significant gift to a charity, or I want to give appreciated stock. So assume you have $100,000 worth of Apple stock and you say, hey, I want to gift that to a charity. Well, you could do that, and that's going to be very, very helpful, because what you're doing is you are avoiding paying taxes on it, as opposed to saying, let's just assume for an example that you bought Apple stock when it was very, very low and it was worth $10,000 and now it's worth $100,000. Well, you could sell, pay the taxes you owe, and then gift. Or you could say, hey, can we just gift that appreciated stock right off the bat, saving you on taxes and giving the charity more, so it's a win-win. Now, what we want to look at is, does it make sense to standard or to take an itemized deduction. So a standard deduction is something that everyone has the ability to do. So if you're just anyone, depending on if you married filing jointly or if you're single, there's different rates for what that's going to be. But that's really the starting place. Now, an itemized deduction is where you go through and say, okay, based off of everything, what makes most sense for me? And so here's the analysis that you want to run in your head, or maybe with your TurboTax expert, or really just something to think about so that when you go do file your taxes, you go, hey, I've got a good sense of what that means when they're talking to me. I listened to the early retirement show. And so what you want to look through is this. The standard deduction, if you're single, is $12,550. So that's a deduction, meaning if you make $100,000, you don't pay taxes on $100,000. You pay taxes on $100,000 minus the $12,550. So that's very helpful because now you look at this and you go, okay, does it make more sense to take a standard deduction or does it make more sense to itemize, meaning maybe there's health expenses, maybe there's mortgage interest. And if that mortgage interest, the health expenses, if all of those add up to be more than the standard deduction, then we certainly want to take that because that means you're going to be paying less in taxes. But if all of those are actually lower than taking the standard deduction, then we want to go ahead and take the standard deduction. So if you're married and you're filing jointly, that deduction, just the standard, is $25,100. And so what we want to look at once again is, does it make most sense to do a standard or really the itemized deduction? Now, once again, all of this is going to be on a checklist that I'll be leaving in the description. Here are a few things that are worth thinking through when filing your taxes, and I'm taking this right from the checklist. Is number one, have you recently divorced or has a spouse passed away? If so, you want to review your filing status. Do you have any dependents? If you have children under age 18 and your gross income, your modified adjusted gross income, is below $200,000 if you're single or $400,000 if you are married, you may be able to claim the child tax credit. So certainly something to look into. Are you or your spouse in college? If so, you're going to want to consider, based off of income, if you can take advantage of the lifetime learning credit or the American Opportunity Tax Credit. And then we look at investments. Is any interest being reported? Are there dividends being reported? If so, you're going to want to reference Schedule B, which is where accounts that are generating income and whether that interest is taxable or tax exempt, if the dividends are ordinary or qualified. Once again, just something to think through, you know, Medicare tax, modified adjusted gross income, were there any capital gains reported? Everything that we're looking through, because what we want to understand is, are we leaving anything on the table? By making sure we report everything correctly, it also allows us to take advantage of all of the great deductions that are out there. And so once again, a lot more to consider than just what we worked through in today's episode, but rental real estate, payment on student loans, making sure that we're deducting that interest if it's eligible. There's a ton of things to consider. I'll go ahead and put this checklist that I worked through today, just at the latter end of today's episode, in the description, so feel free to go click on that. But with taxes, there is so much to consider. You want to certainly make sure that all the forms are being reported, whether it's the investment forms, whether it's the W-2 at work, whether it's a W-4, whatever it is, you just want to make sure you're reporting it so that the IRS does not come back later and say, hey, Ari, you forgot about reporting this, and therefore you're going to owe this penalty, and make sure to do it on time or else there's an additional penalty. So as a reminder, tax deadline is April 15th to file for 2021 taxes. I will put in the description the checklist today so you can look through every form, every line, make sure that you have really put everything together properly. And as a reminder, if this was helpful, please share it with someone who you think would benefit from it, in the goal to make sure everyone can retire early and be financially free. At the end of the day, early retirement is what the show is called, but it's really about, when are you in a position where work is now optional? Where if you love doing what you do, awesome, continue it. If you want to change, great, make the change. But don't let the finances dictate your ability to do ultimately what you want to do. Because if you are still worried, you are not wealthy. It does not matter how much money you have. And so once again, all of this and more is on YouTube if you have found it helpful. And I will see y'all next week. Thank you so much for listening. If that was helpful, please do subscribe, leave 5 stars, rate it, review it, all that good stuff. And let me know how I can best help. I love answering questions, whether it's about taxes, investments, whatever is on your mind. I love seeing how I can best help you. So as always, you can submit a question on my website, personalfinanceredefined.co. That's personalfinanceredefined.co. And I'll see y'all next week. Hey everyone, quick disclaimer here. Please be smart about this, and before taking any action, consult with your tax planner or financial planner. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as investment, tax, legal, or other financial advice. It's for informational purposes only.